Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and He knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask, because we keep His commands and do what pleases Him. And this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in Him and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us.
When Chris asked me to speak on safeguarding Sunday, I really wasn't sure about it. So, you know, how do you do it and not just say what you think? Anyway, so I'm here now, and I just pray that what I say reflects God's heart and purpose and that it can be helpful. I'll try not to go on too long. I've just got two sides. You know, when I've got halfway through, I'll have turned over. So there you go. I'm just going to bring a few thoughts on what safeguarding means for individuals and also the church. And I'll just say that one of my friends has written a play about safeguarding, and it's on in Eltham in another church. So if you feel like going now, you've probably got time to catch it. I won't be offended. So for me, safeguarding is about protecting from harm, you know, whether it's protecting children, friends or neighbours, people we meet. And I think it's also about wholeness, that we should all be able to live without fear and to be confident that God is our refuge and strength without anyone saying we don't deserve that. So whenever I hear Psalm 91, I actually feel a real sense of relief, because I can say he's my refuge, he's my fortress. I'm safe from a trap and I can shelter under his wings. He will protect me, he'll be with me in trouble. And I know I can make the words of the psalm my own, and it does feel like a sigh of relief when I hear those words. But then the psalm does go on to say, surely he will save you from the fowler's snare, from the deadly pestilence. And I know people die of snake bites, infections, they can fall over and be harmed. And we all need to know his protection in our lives, even when things are tough. And so that despite all, I know, we know that the loving God, my Father, and the Father of all, is my refuge. But I also know in difficult times that's just not possible. And we can feel some pain that's irreconcilable. And that can be for people around me, at work, or even here today. And some people will think, well, how much of my pain is self-inflicted? Or perhaps I or they haven't been good enough or lovable enough. Perhaps I deserved whatever happened to me. And these are some of the thoughts that people have. And we know about victim shaming, and we know that these thoughts mean that people don't come forward about their experiences because they believe that somehow it's their fault. But we are made in the image of God, even though we all make mistakes. And nobody has the right to harm or abuse me or anyone else. We are made in the image of God, and we need to hold on to that if we're going to address the control or harm that may be part of our experience. As we all need to know that we have the right to be free from abuse. And our children need to know that too. They need to know that they have a right to be safe, and so do their friends, and something about how to do something about that. I think it's right to trust and to know that one day everything will be resolved. But at the same time, remember that God is a God of mercy and of justice who wants creation restored to him. And I think we all have a role in that, whether it's in our own lives or when there's injustice done to others. So we need to pray, and we need systems that protect and to help in healing of those who've been harmed, and to address underlying causes of harm in our society. And as Cherry said, there's a lot of work has gone on, particularly in the last decade, in implementing safer practice, training, and trying to change culture and change attitudes in the church. But rose-tinted glasses doesn't make that happen throughout any institution or family. We are fallen people in a fallen world. Our inner life matters. And Jesus says in Matthew that even looking at someone lustfully is the same as committing adultery. That's really harsh, but perhaps it recognises the brokenness of our human condition. Our inner lives are complex and broken. As one study in Australia estimated that 1 in 6 were attracted to children, and half of those had acted upon that. And that's unthinkable. But abuse is part of all our cultures, and we all need a role in safeguarding. In England, the National Inquiry and the Makin Report has opened our eyes to denial and inaction in the church under a lens of forgiveness of harm and a lack of awareness of the victim. This should make us aware of the impact of our own actions and our inaction, whether we're controlling or indifferent, whether we act in self-protection or in denial that any harm has been done, or we just hope it will go away. And I can identify with some of that. We do need our eyes open to the vulnerabilities on our doorstep and have the awareness and tools and information to help us address concerns and hold each other to account. We can say that our fight is not with flesh and blood and relate this to the darkness in the world. And this is true, but in our actions, we need to understand and intervene, as this darkness can be in any of us at different times of life. Should we forgive? I think yes, if that's possible, because I think that gives healing and may help us to understand a little, but not to stare at the past and let that define our lives, because that's not good. The reading from John says, "Let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." And there is a time for justice as well as forgiveness, so that others are not harmed. And Jesus says, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." We need to live in that knowledge that this is God's fight, but also know that we are his hands and feet in his work. The church I see at the Good Shepherd and St. Peter is full of love, quiet activism, care and support for so many people in so many different ways. And I think that this, what I've said, may feel just too much, as you know it already. So I feel we just need to come back to rest in his love and feel the relief in the knowledge of his love. And so I'm just going to end with the words of Psalm 91. "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust."